Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Morning, video games. Welcome once again to another edition of Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Hello, filthy animals. It's Ben Vanell here, and with us, as always...
Hello, filthy animals. It's Adam Knox here, and with us, as always...
I'm a big idiot. I'm Adam Knox for real, though.
That's an interesting voice you've chosen.
Yeah. It's your voice, mate.
Oh.
Now, Adam, Ben was looking at both of us, started talking, and then he took his glasses off as if he was like, no, oh, I don't want to look at these two in crystal clear definition. I want them to be a bit blurred.
The librarian who halfway through the movie realized, wait a minute, she's hot.
Yes. I want to fuck Ben a lot more now that he's taken those hideous glasses off. Nice. And let his hair out a bit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't look like a nerd.
No, nah, there's nothing about your, what do you call it, minimalist, modern,
yes,
you know.
Zuckerberg-esque.
Yeah.
Fucking posting it to Reddit room porn.
Yeah.
What? Subreddit.
Oh, room porn,
they call
yes.
it room porn.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They call a bunch, there's a bunch of them on there that are like earth porn, and it's just nice photos of mountains.
Yeah.
So why do you have to fucking make this dirty like you do everything?
Yeah. Food porn is a weird one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that, I mean, that is a fetish. Like people do want to fuck porn. Fuck porn. People, it's like a 14-year-old getting on the Google.
How do fuck porn?
www.tits.com. Even tits would have been advanced for me. Because back before, it was before Google when I was first thinking like maybe the internet's got some photos that I want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you try at www.sex.com and then you'd be like, uh-oh. Mm.
Yeah,
this is.
It'd be like root slash directory slash boobs.
But you'd get there'd be like that splash page that would ask you how old you were, and I would go. I was like, what happens if you answer truthfully? It was like, are you over 18? I clicked no, and it just took me straight to Disney.com. Remember that once? It's like, well, here's where all the children. This is the kids' room of the internet.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore, do they?
Do they? I don't know. Do any sites are? I mean, I'm sure like there's still paid porno sites that ask you.
There's
ask you for age verification.
Gambling and alcohol sites too, which are both things I've worked on, so I know.
Really,
I had to install an age gate on a promo site for a beer company.
Right.
That was a real fuck around.
He just means he tells his wife in the morning, like, I'm going to work. Then goes to the nearest public library and spends the whole day on the computer there.
Yeah. Playing WoW.
I got a formal knock back from a beer ad today that I thought I might have because they did that fucking asshole move where they emailed me at the end of last week and said you are on stronghold for this.
Okay.
Which is usually it's like, oh, you've pretty much got it.
Right.
And then they made me wait a week to be like, nah, you don't have it.
Oh.
I really, a beer ad, being in a beer ad is like kind of a dream of mine.
Yeah, it's a very Australian thing to do.
Yeah, it was for a beer that I hate. So, but you got to take what you can get.
Were you playing the nerd who gets cool after he drinks the beer?
I was playing.
Would you have changed into like a.
Both of you guys, your thing you should be typecast as is the before.
Oh, absolutely. And I would never be in a beer ad because they don't want to associate the idea of this is what you'll look like if you drink beer.
A very tall man.
Yeah, you don't want to get tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my fucked face and skin and demeanor and weight.
Yeah.
I'd just say demeanor.
Nah, I'm hot.
For me, it's a sex symbol. It's like it's irresponsible of them to make people think that like you will be this hot if you just drink mountains and mountains of beer.
Yeah.
They're like, people are going to give themselves alcohol poisoning trying to replicate the life of this absolute Adonis who's appeared before them on the screen.
That's fair. that's fair.
But this ad was like a, it was like a bit of a sweeping around the neighborhood, and it's just like, look at all these people just enjoying a beer. God, it would have been good. Anyway,
you can still do that if you want. You can enjoy a beer. Enjoy in your beer. Neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the
less
irony
of, less
is
of a paycheck.
What beer was it? If it's one you hate, are you comfortable saying?
I don't think you.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't got it, so who cares? I didn't have to sign anything. Okay. It's for Coopers.
I'm not a big fan of Coopers
either.
Yeah.
Didn't they do the gay marriage, anti-gay marriage thing? Was that Coopers?
They were like, I don't think that.
That's why I wanted it so much.
I don't remember specifically. Was it what? I think they were like owned by somebody who was weird or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
I don't
think
they like ran an ad.
No, they didn't.
They'd given money to someone. Like the head of the company had given money to someone or something.
Yeah,
it was some strange corporate bizarre thing that like isn't really to do with the brand, but people find it out.
Yeah,
the thing that Fairfax will have now.
I can't drink it. That pale ale shit makes me sick.
Cooper's pale or all pale ale?
All of it. But you know, I think Cooper's is like. Don't you think that Cooper's is like the pale ale?
No.
It's the one that. No. Don't you think it's the brand that people most associate with pale ale?
No. Okay.
I nearly got cast as the pale.
Really?
Yeah.
A big bucket. That's what it means, right?
A big white bucket.
Yeah.
I assumed it was to do with the color of that. This is bucket ale.
Yeah, don't like pale ales. What do you think of that?
I mean, hey, everyone can like or dislike what they want. Mm-hmm. I love pale ales. It's my preferred kind of beer.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, the irony is
I like a shoey.
The irony is I thought I was going to get this, and I haven't been drinking for a month.
Yeah.
And now that I know that I haven't got it, brother, I am fucking stinging for a cold one. Go out tonight and just drown my sorrows.
We can recommend that. Just drink your pain away.
It's the doctor's choice.
Yeah. What if I get fuck-eyed and then I call up the casting agent tonight? I'm like, you got to get me in there. I mean, look, listen.
I've done the research. Yeah. I've had 30, and let me tell you, I could do it.
I think they'll appreciate the commitment.
I would die for I'd die for this product.
We should start a band, me and this product. We should do it. What if we just owned a pub? We could drink it whenever we wanted, and it would be so good.
Just getting on the Cooper's Twitter, you up? Did you go home or ... hey, we've done another one of our patented premium episodes.
Yeah, we came up with the concept.
Yes.
Our patent.
Yep. Making money from podcasts is something that we invented.
You think we'd be better at it.
We don't need to make more because we invented the concept. We get a little cut of everyone else who does it.
That's true, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of royalty spending.
Yep. We did a, up on our Bandcamp now, there's the history of Sonic games.
Not now. It'll be up soon.
Okay. Yeah.
It'll be up
next
on
couple of days.
Monday, I believe, will be the day.
Ooh, baby. But if you're on the Patreon, you've got it already.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes. If you're in the Patreon tier, you've got it.
Yeah.
But if you're in the regular world,
yep,
you got to wait.
Just got to wait. Yeah.
And you're not in the 1%.
Can I just say, I think it's one of the best things we've ever done.
I think so too.
Yeah. It's real good.
We did a lot of research. Ben had never played a Sonic game. No, you played like two.
Two out of 80.
Yeah.
Discovered, yeah.
Which didn't help for our Chrono Trigger retrospective that we recorded.
Yes.
But we did Sonic. And yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy history with those games. Very interesting to talk about the turning point of it going from good, huge icon to absolute pile of shit.
Yes.
We got into the fandom. We got into the comic books and the TV series and all that sort of stuff. We talked about Home Alone.
That's
some weird reason. We went off on some other weird tangent as well.
A few tangents in there. Yeah.
If you want to find out, you can do it by going to Filthy Casuals Bandcamp. Just Google that.
Go to filthycasuals.com.au.
Yep.
Go to the premium tab and it'll be there when it's out. It's it's a good time.
It's an Aussie dollar or more if you want.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Good shit. What else? What do we got? What have you boys been doing this week?
That's it. I'll be in Edinburgh next week. By the time the next episode comes out. Oh, we should say this as well. Next week will be like a normal episode again, but we've kind of pre-recorded a few special episodes to come out for the few weeks while we're all not in the same place.
Yeah.
And I think some of them are really cool too.
Yeah.
And they're all over the... We've recorded them all out of order. And we're recording... I think we're referencing... real life things that are happening to us at all the time. So it's going to be a very confusing couple of months for all you boys and girls out there.
Some Thai cave jokes in about a month and a half.
Yeah. I think I move in and out of about three different houses over the course of the course of the chronological listening order that people are going to get them in.
In episode 149, you have the Cooper's job.
Oh, that's good to know that it all works out for me in the end. This is like Pulp Fiction. But yeah, we big week of games. Not really, but I've been doing a little bit. Yeah. We all been doing a little bit.
Just
before you guys got here, I was playing a bit of Mario Kart 8 because the absolute madmen, they've done another weird little out of the blue update. They've chucked Link in his champion's outfit from Breath of the Wild, and the Master Cycle are in that game.
Is that what it's called, the Master Cycle?
Yeah, it's the game that you get from it's the bike that you get from, in the DLC. Game. Yeah, it's cool.
And it controls about as poorly as that one did. Like, I played that as well, and I forgot how hard it is to drive a motorbike in Mario.
Yes,
Kart.
I agree. Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool that they did that.
Yeah.
It's nice that they did not need to.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody expected an update to Mario Kart 8 at any point.
This is probably wishful thinking, but with that and the Labo, they put the motorbike, you can control the game with the Labo motorbike. I really hope this is them kind of like gearing up to just drop an update where there's like new tracks in there. Maybe. I really would love it if they just like made that game, like they just don't bring out a new Mario Kart and they just go, here's you know, 16 new tracks.
The way Nintendo is with all of their games, they could basically turn all of them into like games as a service.
Yeah.
It'd be fine.
Totally. Yeah.
If they gave you a new continent for Breath of the Wild, if they gave you a new 10 levels for Odyssey, it's basically new games.
Yeah. These, and they're at the point with they're at the point with a lot of their games where it's like the most recent iterations are like, you don't need to add any more new shit to this. This is a core of this game is just all it needs to be.
Especially with Mario Kart.
Just keep the content coming.
Like Mario Kart 8, it's like it's perfected the mechanics, the look, like all everything about it is perfectly balanced now as well.
They did that with Mario Kart. They just brought it out again on the Switch. They've done it with a bunch of their games. Smash Brothers is basically that as well.
That's what I was thinking today. If you were to do a new Mario Kart now, really the only thing I think they could do to improve on Mario Kart 8 would be to do what they're doing with Smash Brothers and have it be like Mario Kart Ultimate. And it's like every track that's ever been in the game is in this.
Sure.
That's the only thing I would think that would make me think like that's a vast improvement. Anything else, it's like just chuck new tracks on this one.
The one thing though, I'd like them to do that for each of their series and then spend a couple years making a brand new thing. Like it can't be forever that these things are updated, but it has been forever that these things are updated incrementally. So I don't know.
I mean, I think that about Breath of Wild where it's like, what the fuck can you possibly do with a Zelda now?
Sure.
But I thought that 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And I love how, and we all did, how sort of revolutionary Breath of the Wild was. Like, it took an existing genre, the open world genre, and made it as good as it can be.
Yeah.
Stripped out all the shit.
The next Zelda will just have to be like a Tamagotchi. That's the only way they can just keep reinventing the wheel. Just start again.
Go back and like, this is less than an 8-bit game. So you can't compare it.
It's just a little Link that you feed and you mop up his shit. Everyone's like, they've done it again. They went back to the drawing board.
If they just did Breath of the Wild again, but Link can shit on command like the horses from Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, yeah.
Then I would hate that.
But a very subtle musical soundtrack.
Yes.
Now I'm into it.
Yes.
And he shits, and it's like whenever he shits, behind that pile of shit, you can always see two things in either direction. But then when you go around, you can see another.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
That's a very specific
game design.
Yeah.
It's good.
To a thing that was not even the biggest story of the week when it first happened.
Speaking of stories of the week, there's starting to be some news ramping up. We're getting towards the bit of the year where games are coming out again.
Yep. That's it. Companies are like, holidays, Christmas, all that shit. They got to make some money, so they got to bring out some games.
You've got your Maddens and whatever that seems to signal it in the US. But I think basically it's Spider-Man is the beginning of his proper games coming out again.
Yeah,
so
Spider-Man's the next one that everyone's just waiting for.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, and we've got like cool episodes coming up until then, but before then, there's some news starting to happen again. People are making little announcements, like Bethesda said they'll be doing a beta of Fallout 76.
Oh, yes. Yep.
So it's kind of weird. I think for the beta, you have to have pre-ordered the game to get into it. And then it's still a random ballot thing.
Oh, really?
After what? That. I may be slightly wrong on this. It may even be that people in the... In the invite list are coming in waves or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you but if you pre-order it, you might not get into the beta at the start. So sure. It's probably not worth pre-ordering a game that we really don't know how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because this is a new thing for them completely. And online stuff especially fucks up for people who have massive amounts of experience with
it. Yeah. And we're all kind of on the same page of this game. I mean, I'm a bit different to you guys. I've never gotten into Fallout, so I was deeply disinterested in it from the get-go.
Yeah.
But I feel like you guys were sort of on board, and then once they went, oh, here's what it is, it's this like constantly online bullshit, you're both out, right?
Yeah. I couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. But if it had just been single player in that setting, I feel like drip fed it, right? There was like absolutely a few days where it just looked like it was just going to be a straight up game.
They put out a still image of like the test pattern from, well, it looked similar to the ones from 3 and 4.
Yep.
But there were some differences and people started to speculate on like, oh, it's a bit more colorful and maybe the font is a different, like, you know, people were like, oh, it's like, God, maybe a different kind of Fallout.
Nothing better than speculation off the back of absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, the hue, and like people run the, people find out like the exact like coordinates of the hue of red, and it's like, and this is also the hue of red that's used in a fucking book from 1933.
Yeah.
With the Fallout one though, they had done New Vegas pretty quickly after 3.
Yeah.
So there was reason for people to think it'd be like a semi sequel.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just using the, like, that was that the engine prevailing expectation. It was, yeah, just a side game.
Yeah.
Using that engine, exactly. And I was really excited for it. Like, I loved Fallout 4 and I loved Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
And yeah, the prospect of something like that coming along was great.
It's almost like, I know that online stuff makes, you know, a ton of money and it's what a lot of people play, but there's a lot of us who aren't into that at all. It's almost like, It's almost like gaming needs to just like splinter off into two things, and there's just literally a completely different name. Like,
yeah,
they're not even the same form anymore.
Oh, like single player and multiplayer, like different names.
Did you just make that up then?
Well, I don't know. It's just you've got multiple players in one and a single player in the other, and I was just thinking like you could describe
so
it that way.
It's so simple when you break it down.
What if you even had a game where it had like one of each?
That just sounds like a paradise that could never be achieved.
It's the middle of winter and I am boiling hot right now because of this roasting that I'm currently receiving.
But the tone I get from this as well is that it's almost like a test for Bethesda to figure out how online stuff works.
Yeah.
Since they've not really done it, it seems like they're using an engine they know, not having to create that much new stuff. I mean, they're making a new map and everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It seems like a full-priced big launch game thing that is a test and a demo.
Well, Fortnite Battle Royale is a free download. Mm. Like, these kinds of games have been free and have had microtransactions as the monetization. This is like selling you a test of something that's usually free. Like,
if this was a free update to Fallout 4, this would be a different conversation. But it's a full game that they're doing a beta in quotes for. It's a demo or whatever.
Yeah.
But it must be stressful. Like, when you release a new game that's just like, let's say it's a big single player game, it's already stressful because you're like,
I hope my terminology is catching on. <my life.
laughs> you're there going, I hope people like this. I hope it's well received. I hope it sells well.
Mm.
And then if you put in the big multiplayer element to that, another Adam Knox original term.
Yeah, I like it.
Then it's like, boy, I hope our servers don't absolutely shit their pants within one day of this being out.
Absolutely.
It's so hard to come back from that.
And experienced developers and publishers often experience their servers crapping out in a day. And this is, brand new territory
and
for
then
them.
They spend years updating them so they're actually functional in the way that they kind of intended, or like that you know, this is unbalanced, this thing's broken. And like the way Bethesda's made all their games in the past, because they were single player ones, people have gone like, ha, this is broken, but it's funny because there's no consequences.
You can walk through this wall. Like,
But imagine if you can walk through a wall and then you kill someone in real life.
Yeah. And they,
that's a hell of a bug. But
whoa. And they paid for a gun through a microtransaction that doesn't work now.
I mean, maybe it's just me, but whatever happened to going down to the park and flying a kite? You can apply that to like literally anything that we talk about on this show. I'm just going to say that once an episode from now on.
I don't know if Fallout 76 has microtransactions. I feel as though they might have said it won't. But I honestly can't remember.
Yeah.
I feel like people aren't talking about it, so maybe that means that they don't, because people tend to get pretty annoyed about that shit now.
But they'll, I mean, they'll add stuff. It'll be one of those things like a Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. I think it probably just means microtransactions in the way that people think of microtransactions now. There'll probably be, you know, within a year, a content pack of like, hey, here's a bunch of new shit for $20, which is fine. That's not the thing that people have traditionally like gotten up in arms about, because it's like you're paying to just get a bunch of new content in the game.
Totally.
Yeah.
Everyone just prefers to get shit for free though, which is why ROM sites exist.
Yeah, dude.
Now, ROM stands for really, oh man.
Wow.
Mega Drive simulation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What? Mega Drive simulation. The Mega Drive.
What are
the
you Sega talking Mega about? Drive.
ROMs.
Yeah.
Man is one word.
Oh.
And then M.
Okay, yes, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot that I said oh man is one word.
Well, I'm so impressed by the work.
That was gaslighting, by the way. I really felt like I was going insane.
I was lost.
ROMs stands for read-only memory, actually. I don't know if it does in this case.
I don't think it does, yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the CD-ROM ROM.
Yeah, yeah. For that. Yeah. RAM, random access memory.
Mm.
RIM,
job.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice, dude. What does RIM stand for?
Really incredible munching.
Good.
He didn't even blink.
Yeah.
Straight in there.
Yeah.
Nintendo have... So it's been real easy to get ROMs, which if you don't know what ROMs are, it's a game file. It's a dump of a cartridge or a CD or whatever of a game that you can download and play in an emulator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legally pirated game.
So if you own the game, it's technically not illegal.
A backup. Yeah, that's the whole point of them initially, right?
But so the idea is that you only download what you own in real life.
Yep.
But even then it's grey.
Who is the nerd that like that... They just have all of their games backed up as ROMs on their computer.
Well, you can do that because you can get like those cartridges that let you play anything with the one cartridge, which are kind of fucking cool.
Yeah.
So just as like if you live in a small apartment,
but also
it's a cool thing to have.
They're just as cool if you never owned the games originally.
Yeah.
In many ways, it's a lot cooler because you've been an awesome thief.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like Pierce Brosnan in... that stealing paintings
the
movie.
Thomas Crown Affair?
That's the one. Gesundheit. So.
Nah, mate.
What?
Anyway, there's a ROM site called Love ROMs that Nintendo, they've been around for ages. It's so easy to download any game that is like pre the 360. You can basically play everything that exists.
That's the generation where I've tried to emulate GameCube stuff. I feel like is the even the 64. There's some patchy ones out there.
The 64 in particular is weird to emulate. This is just from hearing people who are a lot less legally.
Oh yeah.
Abiding than me.
I can speak in great authority because I overhear a lot of conversations about this on the bus.
Yeah, I hang out down at the docks a lot.
Yes, right.
And
I just pirate a lot of games, so I know a lot about it.
But so I hear people down at the docks say, "Arr,
yeah,
the Nintendo 64 has
OOMS."
The 64 is weird to emulate because it's just got strange architecture. So like some games don't work particularly well with that. The Xbox basically hasn't been emulated.
Yeah. So there's an era like NES and SNES and all that era. You can like no worries. And then there's a
PlayStation 1.
Like, yeah.
It's easy to emulate.
A lot of the time you can play them just embedded in these websites, which I believe Love ROMs, which is the specific site that Nintendo has targeted with a copyright infringement lawsuit. Nintendo's pretty fucking stringent with its copyright stuff. They do a lot of takedowns for like fan made versions of their games.
Yeah.
They do. I think they've eased off on it recently, but they used to fucking go after YouTubers.
Yes.
They're real still hard. Pretty hard on that.
Are they really?
People,
right.
Like any footage of their games. It's very old-fashioned in a weird way because people streaming games out is a good piece of advertising. That's why Fortnite is the biggest game in the world.
Yeah, big time.
Yep, totally.
So Nintendo's a bit silly with this stuff, but they've gone after this one specific website for whatever reason, loveroms.com, which I hadn't even heard of before.
No.
It's not the biggest one, I suppose.
Right.
No.
Because I haven't heard of it, and if it doesn't cross my realm of experience, then it can't be important.
Of overhearing people at the docks.
Arr, I'm more of an MU Paradise man myself.
Don't! Nintendo will find
they
out
know about
it.
Them. I think that one, anyway, has already taken down its Nintendo.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually. A lot of it, yeah.
So this has been sort of bubbling up for a while, that Nintendo's clearly gone like, hey, fucking
knock
cut
it
out.
Every time it happens, I keep thinking like, oh, is this because they're going to put this stuff on the virtual console and finally bring it out on the Switch?
No.
I mean, with them going after YouTubers, it's like, yeah, that's dumb and nearsighted, but it's easy to lump this in the same category and go, God, they just don't get it. It's like, I mean, this is technically people using it for copyright infringement.
Yeah.
But
this is the same argument that 18 years ago we were having with Napster and shit. iTunes came along and it was easier to buy the song than to download it illegally.
Mm.
And that is the only sort of
fix.
The only gate here is people want to be able to get it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Most people don't care about paying for, or not don't care, but will be happy to pay for stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just about the ease of obtaining it. Right now it's fucking hard to, I'll buy a Wii U and I'll download Super Metroid.
Yeah.
They're silly not to have. I mean, it's easy to say this because I don't know what's involved in the programming of some sort of service that lets you do stuff, but they've had it on all their consoles.
Yeah.
The problem here is that there's no way to buy these games easily. Or you can, but it's like fucking $15 for Super Mario Brothers on the Switch.
Yeah,
sure. And or you hunt down a physical copy and that's old and dodgy and no one's going to do that anymore.
So without the ease of access, it's the same as with TV shows in Australia particularly. There's a lot of piracy of shit like Game of Thrones over here because you can't watch it easily.
Yeah.
And people will pay for it if they have the opportunity, but you just don't. And that's the case with these Nintendo ones now. But rather than fixing the actual problem, which is the accessibility of their games, they're now taking more of a stance with these ROM sites.
The other thing is if they had Virtual Console on the Switch now and it had everything on it, these ROM sites would still exist and they would still have to shut them down. It's not like the ROM sites would go, oh, well, no need for us to exist anymore. There would still be people downloading them wanting to get around paying the fucking, $5 that you have to
pay. They wouldn't be the first thing showing up on Google, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If someone's like, I want to play Mario Brothers and typed it in, if Nintendo could sell it to you if you Googled it, then that would happen more often than somebody doing it on this dodgy looking website.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But they would still, be in the position of having to shut it down.
Oh, and look, they're well within their rights to do that, and piracy is illegal and morally wrong.
Yeah, sure. But it just seems like a missed opportunity. Like, and the thing with the iTunes store and Spotify and Netflix and all that kind of stuff is, it ensures a level of quality through those services. And that's what you do pay for. And
like we were saying, the ease of it. Hmm. But if you want to put it in those terms, it's like the amount of time that elapsed between Napster shutting down or there being a lot of noise about it, like the record labels going after it, and getting to the point that we're at now of easily streamable stuff. That's only like Spotify being a big thing that has everything on it has only really happened in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And Napster was being fucked with like what in 2002 or something? Yeah. 2003? So that's a long time to elapse. And it should be easy with games because we now know, well, there's a shortcut here.
There's also competitors doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing.
Yeah. But there was a long time between like Napster ending and the point we got at now where it was just like all these different services trying to work out, well, what's the right way of doing this?
Sure.
And you could argue that Spotify and all the like isn't even really a good solution because no one's making money out of that. Like none of the artists are getting any money off their songs. So yeah.
Spotify is almost a new thing after iTunes solved the problem back in the day.
Because that iTunes store has been around for like 10 years. Like that's not new.
For more than
paying 99 cents for a song has been a thing for 15
But when I was
years.
In my mid when I was in my mid-20s and had, you know, less disposable income, I still even though I could get stuff quickly on iTunes, I still torrented, but just because I didn't have the money to pay for it.
That'll never go away.
Yeah.
That's a class issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's cutting off the fucking, what is it, the Chimera?
The Hydra?
The Hydra. Maybe love roms will go down,
yeah.
But then like roms and hey, let's just stay friend roms.
Sure.
We'll show up.
Yeah, platonic
place.
Roms.
Yeah, yeah. It is weird. That's the weird thing to me is that they bother to go after like one site instead of like it would make more sense if they just went. We've sent because there's hundreds of them.
Well, yeah. They sent a lot of the DMCA stuff to a lot of them and they complied.
Right.
So this must be one of the ones who was like, "Do you hear the people sing?" Yeah. It's like we're gonna do it anyway.
But the thing about this is like the ROM sites and you know Napster and stuff are generally the innovators. Like someone going like, oh, you can take these files, they're very small, put them in a directory, download them and play them this way is great. And it's a very, you know, groundbreaking idea at the time. And it's probably why the PlayStation Store and the Xbox, you know, like that's why they created digital marketplaces.
Yeah.
Mm. And yeah, like Napster is the classic thing of like, oh yeah, songs are just files. So why don't we monetize that instead of making it a pirate?
But the weird thing is, and the big difference there too is that Napster popped up and then pretty quickly record companies went, what the fuck? ROM sites have been around for like, God, 20 years or something.
Yeah.
Like, forever.
Yeah.
And the industry's just had to go, oh, well, it's not. People just want to pirate them. There's not, you know, they're just there, I guess.
Yeah.
Just all.
But then PlayStation and Xbox have great digital marketplaces as well.
Video games as well, for whatever this is worth, aren't as eternal as a song. You know, a song from the 60s sounds just as good now, but a game from the 60s, I'd love to see that.
True, hopscotch never dies.
What else we got in the old news corner?
The developers of Halo Infinite have said that it won't have a battle royale mode. It's not really news, that's just a... But so that game isn't the sort of cynical thing that it could be.
I love that something is that big that now it's everyone's obligation to go, guess what, guys? Mm. There's not going to be a battle royale mode in the upcoming Pokemon game. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Octopath Traverse selling real well in Japan. Mm-hmm. Microsoft's adaptive controller has packaging that you can open with a disability. You can do it without your teeth or with your teeth or whatever.
Yeah, it's easy to open.
It doesn't specify here, but yeah, it's easy to open. It's not some dumbass packet, which is smart.
Yeah.
But other than, it's all kind of small stuff like that. Other than Sean Murray's been getting around, the head guy of the No Man's Sky studio,
well, why
doing
is that?
Some interviews.
Is he? What's he just decided to suddenly talk?
He's just on a press junket. He's got a book coming out.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Also, they released yesterday
or the day before
No Man's Sky Next, which almost exactly 2 years after the launch of No Man's Sky is like the big.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
How about that shit? It's terrifying.
Feel old yet?
This is Macaulay Culkin now. It's a photo of just Home Alone 2. Download our Bandcamp, Home Alone 2. But it's a big update. It's like they're kind of, if it was the early access game, it should have been. This is their 1.0 release, right?
Totally, yeah. Totally.
With no, like, they didn't like sizzle this at all. They did like just very quickly. It was like, hey, this is coming out real soon.
Gave it like a week of sizzle,
Love that.
People have been stoked about it, particularly you, Ben, who has played it.
Yeah, I've played it. I've played about an hour of it just last night.
As an expert, tell us about it.
How do you feel about them having made something better that was already your favorite thing of all time?
I'm overjoyed.
You really didn't leave yourself anywhere to go with the enthusiasm that you have for this game.
It's honestly kind of overwhelming going back into it, because you're right, like it was a game that I loved. It met all of the expectations I had. It was a literally open universe, you know, space pilot fucking mining sort of game.
Sound like you've just heard about this for the first time, the way you're describing it.
It has
space pilots.
There's planets in it. Oh, it's a video game. It's single player, actually.
Oh, nice. Well,
that new genre.
Yeah.
So I played No Man's Sky when it came out 2 years ago. I wasn't super into it. What has changed? And I know we've talked about some of the updates that have happened since then, but what has changed from that initial release that probably the majority of people who might be interested in this tried? What's changed from then to now?
The graphics are better.
In what way?
Like more detailed textures, right. the lighting's better. Like just everything about it is better.
That's so crazy that even... So like is it early access to release kind of difference?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Nuts.
But this is also... This feels like it's like everything that like... That people felt like that what the initial release should have been.
Yeah.
Even down to the fact that like... It shouldn't have been hyped at all.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing that killed it, was having all this expectation on it, whereas this just comes out with nothing, with like, you know, barely any...
It was like patch notes, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, oh, cool, they've added all this stuff. So you're not going and like thinking about it for months and months and months. It was like, oh, I guess I'll fire that up again.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, there's all this cool new stuff in here and it looks better and everything.
So like, that's the thing. Graphically, it's better. The interfaces are better, like just from being uncomfortable to use to being really good. Like it tracks your progress better. You can, there's quests and missions and rewards. There's a campaign in a way where you're following this very sort of vague but story through different galaxies. There's impetus to do the shit that you do.
Because there was the thing of like the little red gems or something that you sort of followed around the galaxy last time, and it was like, ooh, it's a little intriguing, but it wasn't really a...
It was as vague as you can get while still technically being like a path to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this, there are like characters that talk to you, that tell you to do, like, you know, it's a traditional story.
Okay.
Like this, just down to like having classes of ships that you can identify and judge which one's better than the other and shit like that. There's multiple inventory systems now, so you're not always fucking dumping shit like you were the first time
that
around.
That was really annoying. Like you're basically listing every problem I had with the original initial release.
I did the exact same thing just before. Yeah.
You guys are both with racist.
Let's just invent it now. Original.
We are on the roll of creating terms.
Coining terms.
But the Yibbida Yibbida release was...
So basically what I'm saying is, like any of the small issues, the finicky issues that impacted just your enjoyment of a game that you might have generally liked have been tweaked and fixed and improved. And it's also put in... full multiplayer.
So what does that mean? That I'm interested in, because the whole thing of it having 18 trillion planets or whatever.
Battle Royale, bitch.
18 trillion people are dropped on an island.
Yes.
They're dropped in a galaxy and you still just fly around never seeing any of them.
Yeah, fuck. So like it's what multiplayer is. You can join, when you start boot up the game, you can join a party. You can create a party. You can play as single player and people can join your game if they're your friends on whatever service you use.
Right. Do you see random people just kind of milling about?
When you're just playing like single player mode, people are milling about, but then like I don't think you see their like full 3D model. You see like an orb or something.
Right. Okay. That's pretty common for like a...
Sure.
Yeah.
Destiny with multiple style. Servers and shit like that. But but like, when you join as a party, you see the other people, like you see them as... There's third person camera now, so you can see yourself in a fucking spacesuit.
I watched some footage of that and it looked awkward in the way that like Bethesda game third person cameras are.
It's exactly that. It's Skyrim. It's not built from the ground up, obviously, to have footfalls on terrain to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I don't prefer playing it that way.
I'll settle for nothing less than perfect.
But yeah, like it means you see other player models, you see other players' ships.
And you can be any race now?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm out.
Because is it still the same aliens? Here's two problems I have with the original as well that I don't know if these will be fixed. The diversity of the aliens, this will sound, but...
You want more diversity?
Yeah, I wanted more different types of aliens and weirder ones and things that really seemed alien, because all of these ones seemed to all know each other beforehand, and like there was already... It didn't feel like you were discovering untapped pockets of the universe. It felt like you were going to a town that you'd never been to before, but other people had.
It's still that way a little bit.
Right.
Like if you land on a planet and you scan it, there'll be a base over there and you go there and there'll be someone there.
And
like there'll be a spaceport and they'll be selling shit. And there's not that pure like Christopher Columbus New World sort of situation.
And like the sort of like universal architecture that they all had, and they had the same platforms and they had the same like looking.
Yeah.
Which I kind of get, but there's none of the, like, I almost want them to take the spore alien generator thing and apply it to, like, a civilization somehow, and, like, have these planets that have grown but don't know about the outside world. That sort of stuff was never really there.
I think that's hard to do. It's probably more comparable to, like, Skyrim, where it's like the bits in between are all genuinely random, and there are things that happen that are absolutely not seen by anyone else in the game before. There are views and vistas and space freighters popping in and stuff like that, which, like in a Skyrim, you know, you stumble across a bear and then some fucking other guy comes in and there's a... Like, you know, those random events happen.
Yeah.
But there are towns that are built and there are familiar races and, you know, there's like five of them. And
yeah.
It's probably more comparable to Skyrim in that way.
Sure.
And in a way that it's like, yeah, no one was ever going to literally visit 18 trillion planets. So I don't know what we really could have expected from that.
Mm. No, it's more that thing of like... what's that movie where Matthew McConaughey is Interstellar?
Yeah.
You know how they go to like the freak planets, like the water tidal wave planet and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
There was never really any of that. Everything was pretty uniform with like slight tweaks to whatever knobs that you could kind of see.
Glass is purple here.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah. There's radiation or there's no radiation. There's heat or there's no heat. Yeah. So I don't know yet the extent to which that's been fixed or tweaked. Right. But this
story mode, is it still the procedurally generated stuff, or if it's like there's characters and text,
there's characters and text that is like all planned out.
Yeah, but so does that mean if I play it, I'm going to the same, like the planets look the same? I guess that's hard for you to say. But
I'd imagine you're following the same structure through a different generated area.
I believe that's the case. And then things like spaceships and buildings and stuff are the same because they relate specifically to the story.
Right.
And like if there is a cool story and if what you're doing minute to minute is more engaging, I can deal with the fact that like, oh, there's not – because I guess what made the original No Man's Sky seem – or made that stuff, as in like the more bizarre places, stick out that it wasn't there, is because all you were doing was sightseeing.
Yeah.
And so going and seeing very similar sights again and again became tiresome at some point. But if there's something more driving you through it, then the randomly generated stuff being more uniform between each world will stick out a little less, I'd imagine.
And I don't think still the emphasis is on this story. And this is the one I played like 6 months ago.
Right.
So I haven't like got back into what that is now.
Because it resets your save and shit when you do the new update.
It resets the universe.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
ultimate save.
Yeah, so like your ship, your items, the amount of money you have, all that stuff is the same. Your base, which you like have to respawn somewhere.
Right.
Which you do build. Is all the same, but like all the planets look different and you're in a different location, all that shit now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, like the story, I can't entirely speak to it, but it's not going to be the reason you play it. But what they have added is like, they make it like a freelancer or a game like that, where every spaceport now has like a bunch of aliens and some of them have missions for you to do. And the missions are like, hunt down this animal, find this item, collect these minerals, find this person, all that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
And so those are different... at every space station, and every galaxy has a different space station.
Right.
And so those are always there.
It's almost like more like a roguelike type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
A randomly that is more interesting to have some direction with that game.
Totally. And then the impetus is to like get a better ship with more guns, because some of the missions are, you know, hunting down fighter missions.
Because you kind of had to make your own goals, and you could still do that same building up your whatever limited stuff you had, but there was no reason to really.
And so now there is a bit more direction and impetus. It's still like only really a game for someone who likes flying around space, blowing stuff up and collecting minerals. But
yeah, right. I was with you until you said minerals.
But all of a sudden got very specific.
But then, you know, that's why I liked it originally.
Yeah.
What I haven't fully tested yet, and I'm hoping to play with Ben Russell at some point, is joining a party together, picking something to do and going and doing that, because that is the thing that is brand new, and it's the thing that people wanted originally.
That's the thing that was, they kind of said it was going to be. I think that was the biggest part that people were most chitty about. Like they'd kind of hinted that you'd be able to just like randomly kind of see people around the place, and that didn't
and if you've got a semi-directionless game, being able to pick a direction with someone else makes it a lot more purposeful.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So,
do you think that anyone who hated it to begin with would potentially be on board now?
It's hard to say, because most of the people that hated it to begin with were people who were hoping it was going to be almost like what it was, but 100 times better.
Yeah.
So the same style, just, you know, with this multiplayer and more of this extra shit that's in there now.
And this is maybe 10 times better or something. So.
Sure. But the other thing is, like, if you're thinking of a person who hated it because they don't like flight simulators or space sims or Minecraft, then, like, no.
That
they
hasn't
won't
changed,
like it.
Yeah.
It's not, like, Breath of the Wild is a game that converted a lot of people to open world games and to Zelda.
Yeah.
This is not a game that's converting anyone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, I'm interested to try that because I was very lower medium on that game or something the first time around. Maybe upper lower. I'm not really sure.
I might have a go. Did we all get a copy or did we get one to share?
I bought a PC copy.
You bought a
PS4 copy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we got a review because we played it the first day at my place.
Yeah. Maybe that's
So it's out on Xbox now as well.
That's cool.
Is there crossplay between any of them? Do you know? Or?
That I don't know. I don't know. But just the fact that they've developed a game from being widely hated to the point of death threats to meeting the expectations.
Yep.
Over 2 years. And the expectations being a pretty lofty, you know, sort of thing is pretty impressive.
And if nothing else, they deserve props for going away and continuing to work on it and having a crack, even if it takes 2 years. I mean, to cop that much heat, like you'd probably go, oh, well, fuck it, or we got to start working on something else. I don't know. I would, like, people being like, oh, I wanted it to be this. I would get, me personally, I would be like, well, fuck all these people. You don't get that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
sure,
I don't want to
sure.
satisfy these people that are sending me fucking death threats. Who
Absolutely.
Cares what they think?
Yeah.
You know what? So the game's deleted from all your hard drive.
It's the opposite of that U2 album getting put on people's iPods.
Yeah. So for them to work that hard on it is I think, extremely commendable. I hope we see kind of a bit more of that. I mean, I don't think that developers should necessarily just like bend to the whim of every, you know, person who's playing their games, but to actually kind of like, keep working at it and refining it and you know, listen to feedback. And it ultimately does feel like it got away from them in terms of it being pushed as such a big thing. And
absolutely.
Potentially they just wanted more time to work on it anyway and then it got taken out of their hands. Like,
yeah. Because I think like one of the things they did say is that they would keep iterating on it.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't hyped and it came out as it did and they were like, hey, we're going to make those things that we said just in a year and then 2 years from then.
Yeah, I mean, if it had just been an indie that probably would have passed a lot of people by at the time, but now like people were going like, hey, you got to get on this. There's heaps of good shit on there now. Mm. Like it probably would have just like by now, like, have a big audience of people.
It's like We Happy Few or something. People are like getting kind of stoked on that now. But when it came out 2 years ago, probably again.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, this isn't really what I wanted.
Sure.
But nobody really gave a shit because it was kind of pretty under the radar-ish. I mean, it was at like E3 shows and stuff. It's unclear whether or not it has crossplay.
Okay.
So
interesting.
It'd only be between the Xbox and the PC though if it did.
Yeah,
right,
that's true.
True.
That's true.
Anyway, good on him. Got to dig the copy out and have another go.
Yeah. If nothing else, it's an interesting thing in video games.
For
the industry, it's
crazy story.
It is crazy. So, boys, what have you been playing?
You've been holding court over there. Time for us to take the reins.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I can talk about any games I've been playing. I'm panicking.
Maybe
I should go jump in the pool.
There is a pool
I have a pool now. Have we talked about that?
No.
Summertime pods, baby.
Yes.
Boys, bring your trunks.
Let's chuck the recorder in and just get going.
Someone asked me the other day, a friend asked me, they're like, have you been in the pool yet? It's been literally eight. I've lived here for 2 weeks and it's been 8 degrees every single day. And it's an outdoor pool.
So...
Hell yeah, dude.
Yes.
Check out these fucking... Check out my small little dick and you tell me if I've been in the pool today.
No,
I was in the
but
pool.
It's still small.
It's rock hard. I've been playing... So have you boys been playing this? I've been playing Pool Panic.
Not yet.
Right. I have been playing Pool Panic.
I'm excited to.
It came out... I don't know why this happened, but it came out on the US eShop on the Switch on Friday and then... here on the Monday. You boys were around here on the weekend and you saw me playing a little bit of it. I got it on the USA shop because I had some credit on there. It's good shit.
Yeah, I'm into it as well.
I think it looks good.
Yeah.
So I like pool games. I always used to play those, like, again, online flash pool games, right, like 10 years ago.
This it really isn't a pool game, which is like...
Right. So to set up what it is, it's an Adult Swim game. It's very cartoony style. It looks like an Adult Swim cartoon.
It's a Rick and Morty looking
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 100 levels, and it's basically you control a little ball. You can walk him around around each level.
A little cue ball. A lot like you, Tommy.
Small, white, and liked by many.
Yes, awesome.
The most important ball on the table.
What was it? Arishal.
Arishal. Yeah.
So you with the left stick you can walk him around, and with the right stick you can like summon a kind of giant floating cue, and you use that to aim. So every level is essentially a pool table where you have a set number of balls that you have to get into a hole. What changes level to level is, so the balls are all kind of like characters as well. Some of them run around, some of them
like goalkeepers who'll try and stop them from getting the other balls. There's ones who'll jump on top of another one and then you have to get that one first. There's ones who'll like smash down and spread all the balls everywhere.
Yeah, right. There's ones that'll, if you aim from too far away, they'll like run away before you get to them.
Yeah.
So basically each level is like you get dropped in and you essentially just have to work out what you're having to do in that level. But what you're having to do is always get the balls into the hole. Sometimes you won't be able to see where the hole is.
Dude,
sometimes
that's what it's all about, brother.
Sometimes the balls will be hidden. Like there's one where it's like a campsite and there's like four tents. You try and hit the tents and nothing happens. And there's like, you notice that there's a little barbecue, and if you hit the barbecue, there's like burgers on there that kind of fly off the barbecue, and the balls kind of come running out of their tents to go and eat the meat that's fallen off the barbecue.
Yeah, right.
And then you can hit them into the... So there's like little things like that where you get... And you basically get given nothing apart from being able to just kind of, you know, look around and trial and error. Mm. And like, so far I've done ones where there was one where it was like a running track, and so all the balls are kind of running a race, and in the middle is the hole, so you've, you know, got to try and hit them, but they've constantly got momentum,
right.
So you kind of, that makes it tricky. There was one that was like rock climbing, so it's like on the side of a cliff, and there's like, you're on a rope, and there's like hooks that if you go through them, so you can't move very far because you're like tethered to these little hooks,
right?
So you have to kind of like aim yourself down to the hooks to get down far enough to hit the ball that's also rock climbing and get him down to the bottom.
Fucking hell.
So yeah, and there's like an overworld that you're kind of, and so there's like each area is kind of themed. So you'll be in a factory, there's like a swamp where the hole is like a big kind of like piranha thing that's kind of roaming around. So you can see him moving and you have to like hit the balls like into the water, into his path for him to go and eat.
Yeah, right.
Just heaps of like creativity and inventiveness, and just that thing of turning up on each course, and like, yeah, it's like it moves so quickly. Like it from an idea is done within about two levels, and then you move on to a completely new thing. So it's they all look different, they all feel different. The style is great.
There's no real story to it or anything to its benefit. Like you're just going through and doing these basically puzzles one after another.
Yeah.
And there's kind of two levels you can do them on. Like you can brute force your way through it and get them all in 100 moves and whatever, you're done.
Yep.
But then there's four little trophies that you get for each one, for like time, for the number of shots you take, for getting every ball in, and for not going in the hole yourself.
Right.
And if you can do it in that, and they're pretty fucking strict, like it's quite hard to get all those trophies for each of the challenges.
So this is the thing about the only, I love it. I think it's really fun. It's very inventive. It's very different to anything I've played lately. It's a great pick up and play game.
The style works really well.
The style works great. The music is excellent. They've gotten a cool kind of like electronic guy to like make a great soundtrack for it. There's a lot of like riffs on like kind of tunes that you'll know that are kind of tied to the Chariots of Fire music. Like it kind of a remix of version of that plays in the running race that I was saying before.
Yeah, Dawson's Creek theme song.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. I played a level. I played a level before where it was like you're in a house. So you're using a little ramp to go to different floors of the house.
Oh, yeah.
And the balls will be on one and the hole will be on a nut, like down the bottom.
And there's two robbers trying to get in from outside.
But you've kind of got it. There's like different things that you've got to do in the house. Like for example, there's a top room where it's like a bathroom and it's covered in steam so you can't see anything.
Right.
You have to go down to the basement and like smash a the furnace to like shut off the steam. There's like – I did like a boss – I don't know if these regularly happen. I did like a boss battle where it's like a the eight ball is in a crane and he's kind of like trying to pick you up and scoop you and dump you in the hole and you have to aim yourself at his crane to like – slowly dismantle it.
Right.
And while avoiding his crane that he's trying to pick you up and drop you into the hole.
Because you have to get like pull, you have to get every ball in before the eight ball. There's an eight ball in every
yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure, sure.
It does sometimes get a little bit tricky. You can't move the camera around at all. So sometimes you're really zoomed in and it's kind of hard to see. There's like obstacles that you kind of can't see behind and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the aiming with
you can't get a whole idea of the full table either.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, things will be behind other objects.
Mm. Yeah. And the using the right stick, the aiming, like the aiming with the right stick does sometimes get a little finicky.
It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel precise enough to do what you want to do all of the time. Like sometimes the controls are against.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like right. It's very
those
annoying
ones where
as well.
Balls are kind of like running away from you, and so you're very quickly having to line up the shot to get them as they come past. It's so hard to do because it right. takes you a few seconds from when you. It's really hard to explain without saying it, but it takes you a few seconds from when you start aiming with the right stick because it's not like you don't have any. You don't have a constant context of what direction you're aiming in. Just as soon as you touch the right stick, the arrow will appear and it could sort of be anywhere.
And right. The problem as well partly is if you're aiming at a ball, it'll do like this lock-on thing. And then when it's locked on, the speed at which your aim changes versus how you move the stick will change.
Oh.
So you'll do an adjustment that would have worked if it hadn't locked on, but it's locked on in that time. So the adjustment is smaller than it would have been.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I struggled to – I had to invert the controls because, like, I wanted it to be that if I push right on the stick, the pull cue would show up to the right of the ball.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you can. And so it'll start with the opposite way, which feels unnatural. But, yeah, it's the precision of the aiming is just, like, a little weird and off.
It's all – these things sound like in any other game they would kind of, like, break it and make it impossible to play and make it not fun. It's testament to how fun everything else is that – this isn't – it's just like bugging me a little bit here and there, but it's not really affecting my enjoyment of it. It does mean that like if you're someone that loves collecting trophies and you want to go in and – I don't know how the fuck – like if you're just going through the level and just wanting to clear it, great. I don't know how the fuck you'd go with like – especially the thing where you've got to get it in a set number of moves.
Yeah.
It's really – the randomness of it is really against you.
I am the kind of person with this kind of game where I'd be going on one level and completing it and then getting the first trophy and the second trophy.
Right.
And like with Mario Kart, it's like I'll finish it, I'll get the stars, and then I'll move on. Yeah.
It does
not
really,
really any point to getting the trophies as far as I can see yet.
Yeah.
Like you just – if you clear the level at all, you get every benefit you're going to get in terms of like unlocking stuff.
Sure.
So I've just been blowing through it without thinking about that stuff because it makes it a lot more fun. The controls will work against you if you're trying to be good.
Right. It does feel like it if it just had – it just only needs a little patch. Like you could have – the camera could be controlled by the deep – like I get that they can't have the – the camera is hard because you're using the right stick to aim.
And it's a 2D sort of game as well, so you can't really spin the camera around this 2D.
Sure,
level.
It's like literally, it looks like hand-drawn animation almost. Or so
it chops up as well. We've both been playing the Switch version. It is on Steam as well, but it gets the frame rate dips in weird points as well.
Right.
So if you zoomed out to the whole map, it might fuck it.
But you can have a camera thing mapped onto the D-pad easily enough and just a little more finesse with the aiming, which seems like the sort of thing they might do. It only needs like a little bit of tidying up and it'd be – but I think it's great. It's like $20 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really easy to recommend. It sounds – I don't know. Because I read a thing about it saying like right after I had paid for it as it was downloading, saying these things and I was like – this is going to be fucked and unplayable. And then I was like playing it. I'm like, I could see what they're talking about, but it's still, if you just want to clear the levels, it's fine.
Yeah, right.
And for that price too, it's like, and everything else about it is like so good and so inventive and so charming and so unique and so great looking that it's like, you can kind of forgive it because essentially, I mean, it is still, it's an indie, you know, like it's a small team and whatever. And
I think I agree that I'm really enjoying it. And it's the only two things that I would say, maybe three that would work against it is if you don't like sort of silly little choppy kind of little slice of puzzle kind of games.
Yeah.
You probably won't like this. If you don't like the visual style and the sort of presentation of
totally.
That Adult Swimmy looking thing, it'll turn you off.
Right.
Yep. And if you are someone who really wants to nail everything and instead of having it, if you're just having fun with it and laughing at it a little more and enjoying yourself, it'll be, but if you want to beat every level fully, it might piss you off.
If you're someone who uses the word hitbox.
Yes.
because the thing of like the trophies and the what is it, the stroke limit or whatever.
I got no limit to the stroke limit.
Fucking grow up. Even without the tricky aiming of it, the fact that in a lot of levels you've got these ball, like the balls kind of like, you know, they're characters, so they're sort of running around randomly. Like, that makes it hard too. Even if the aiming was perfect, you're still up against this, like, almost Mario Kart level of sort of absolute randomness that you kind of – you can't be in control and just be like – but then there are some levels where there's a – there's like a couple of challenges where it's like you have to do it. There's like a couple of levels that there's a – it's like you've just got to hit this, like – you've got to do it in one – go.
Right.
And so it's just you working out, okay, which one of these do I hit to trigger it all off properly?
Sure.
And so and those aren't, there's not random shit happening in them. It's just like these things are dotted on these five corners of the thing and like which one do you hit to set them all off?
Right.
But yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah, really recommend it. Yeah, worth a look.
I'm definitely going to have a look.
I haven't seen it getting I haven't really seen it getting much action out there. Mm. I haven't seen it being talked about much at all. Yeah. It was on my radar just because it's the sort of art style. And, I mean, you're not wrong, but I fucking hate referring to it as looking like Rick and Morty because I feel like that – because it does, but that it's – that I feel like that just has such a negative connotation in people's heads now.
Well, you know, like I'm lucky that I can play it because I have such a high IQ.
But, yeah, fun game. It's got some kind of verse mode and stuff in it that I think you unlock, which I don't quite know what that is. But I've not
come across that either, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. Good stuff.
Nice.
Pool Panic. Really recommend it.
Pool Panic.
Shouts out. On Steam and Switch.
Sweet. Good shit, boys.
Mm.
We've done it again.
There it is for another week.
Yep.
That's what it's all about, brother.
The sun has set on another day and we're all one step closer to death. Really makes you think, doesn't it? What the fuck are we doing with our lives?
No Man's Sky 2 years ago is genuinely... We were talking about the hype to that game on this podcast. That's how recent it was.
Yeah, yeah.
The true death threat to Sean Murray is just the march of time.
All right.
All right, yeah. Filthycasuals.com.au. Keep your eyes open for that Bandcamp app that's coming up.
Yes.
If you've never gone in on one of them, A, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
They're all good. They're all really funny. But this is the one to check out, I reckon.
Absolutely.
If you've been holding off.
Yep. Yeah, and, if you want a recommended listening order, just hit us up. It goes Sonic, Mario, and then the other prequels.
Yeah, the Pixels commentary is really good as well.
Yes.
We could keep back in that one.
Yeah, that was a fun time.
It's a real underperformer.
Mm.
All right, yeah, filthycasuals.com.au. Hit us up on the socials, hit us up on the emails, all that sort of stuff. We will see you next week. But until then, as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Recording over, mates. R-O-M.
Again, oh, man. Yes.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.